नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भगवद् गीता as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 3, text 37. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama Esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapapma vidhenam iha vayvenyatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Purport. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. You know what wrath means? It's an old English word for anger. Wrath is transformed. Kama esha krodha esha krodha. Wrath means krodha. Wrath is transformed into illusion, and illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. Other corollaries means there's kam, there's krodh, and then there's lobh, moha, mada, matsaya. Ityadi. That's just a beginning. If therefore the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss, and the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities, and when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. This inquiry is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutras, wherein it is said, Athato Brahma Jignasa. One should inquire into the Supreme, and the Supreme is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as Janmadyasya Yaton Vyad Itaratascha, or the origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of Lord Rama, exhibited his wrath by burning the golden city of Ravana, but by doing so he became the greatest devotee of the Lord. Here also in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord induces Arjuna to engage his wrath upon his enemies for the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends instead of our enemies. Practically the whole of Bhagavad Gita, is the whole subject, is here in one word, karma. Desire. And we may think how to overcome that, but Krishna gives direction in Bhagavad Gita how to channel that. Not so much overcome, because, I'll read a few verses later, but we'll find karma is the strongest of all. Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya parang manaha manasas tu parabuddhe yobuddhe paratastusa. Above the senses, the mind and intelligence, the strongest of all is lust. So overcoming it is very difficult. But if we channel, Arjuna was advised to change his desire into serving Krishna. Otherwise, desire keeps us in material existence. Already at the end of chapter 2, or toward the end of chapter 2, Krishna has warned against meditating on the objects of the senses, dhyayato vishaya pungsang, sangasteshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate, kamaha, kamat krodho vijayate. So he's iterating the same point. Arjuna has just asked, why we want to be good, why are we bad? And already Krishna, already he's explained this, but now he says it again. It's karma, lust, and krodha, anger, rajaguna samudbhava. Desire is born of rajaguna, the mode of passion. Krishna will discuss this in more detail later on. At this point in the Bhagavad Gita, he's not much touched upon the modes of nature. Later, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Upavajana. He's said this, that you be free from the modes. The Vedas mostly deal with that, but later on he'll give much insight of the actions of the three modes of nature and how to overcome them. Now, this is very valuable knowledge. Is it not? Okay. Then, why is it that Hindus who are supposed to be following Bhagavad Gita, they're not interested to read Bhagavad Gita? Why is that? I have a theory. Well, one answer to that is it's too truthful. Too difficult for people to hear. They want to hear something, just get some blessing and you'll be happy. But Krishna is very, very strong. Let's read the next few verses. Why? Because everyone wants to cultivate karma. Everyone's living in this world due to material desire, and they think the sadhu will bless them to fulfill their material desire. But Krishna, he gives the instruction that even you may desire something very, very strongly, and you may be convinced that you're right, as Arjuna. He desired very, very strongly to leave the battle. He was convinced he was right. He was so convinced he was right, he thought he would instruct Krishna. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita begins with Arjuna instructing Krishna. Bhagavad Gita means Krishna instructing Arjuna, but it starts off with Arjuna instructing Krishna and says that, well, you know, we're all here, but let's not fight, let's all be nice. And Krishna chastised him. Pragyavadangs chabhashase. You're speaking as if you're a big pundit. You don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, these very strong topics, Krishna, this verse which we just read to begin this talk. Now, Krishna begins, that is the beginning of the last part of the third chapter, in which Krishna discusses what is the effect of this karma, material desire. Sometimes karma is used for sexual desire. Thus there are the Kama Sutras. But it means any material desire. So Krishna goes on to say, you may say, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with it? Everyone has material desire, so what's wrong? Yeah, well, what's wrong is look at the whole material world, that's what's wrong. What happens is you get in the material world. Then Krishna continues, dhumena avriyate vahnir yatha darsho malena cha yatol bena avrito garbhas tata tenedam avritam. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Tata tena idam. The word idam is given here, no, means the atma, and it's not specifically stated. Becomes covered. What is the meaning of that covering? What does it mean? These analogies are given. Fire is covered by smoke. The mirror is covered by dust. The embryo, you can't see the embryo forming, is covered by the skin covering the womb. So what does it mean that it's covered? That's explained in the next verse. Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. It means that the by nature, here the Atma is described as Jnani. He's supposed to know. But it shouldn't be necessary to speak Bhagavad Gita. We should know what is right and what is wrong. But the Jnana of the Jnani is covered. What is the covering? The covering is lust, which is our eternal enemy. Nitya vairi, eternal enemy. So, always, all the time, covers the consciousness. Kama rupa, in the form of karma, material desire, and dushparena analena cha. It burns like a fire which is never satisfied. However much fuel you put in a fire, it becomes, it doesn't say, okay, thanks, enough. It will burn more and more and more. I'll just go through this quickly. So, indriyani mano buddhir asyad hishtanam uchate etairvi mohyat yesha jnanam avritya dehinam. So, the idam of the previous verse is here revealed to be the dehi, the not the body, but the person within the body. So, the senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Yeah, all questions can be asked, answered in Bhagavad Gita. We may ask, why are there wars? Why do people do bad things? Here's the answer. Why are there wars? Why is there fighting on the India-Pakistan border? If you trace back, or why does man and wife argue and fight? Why does anyone argue and fight? Why does the snake bite? Why? Why is the world like that? It all comes back to lust. That is the root cause of all discrepancies, and particularly lust gives rise to anger. So a living being who is very lusty and very angry by nature, they can take birth as a snake. Someone who's very demoniac, they'll be born in a position where they can inflict suffering on others. And there are others who they want to be good and they want to enjoy the world, so mixture. Not that everyone's completely demoniac, but the basic desire is there the desire to enjoy this world. And from that, when we say this is the enemy, lust is the enemy of each individual living being and of the whole world. They have peace conferences, they're all useless. United Nations is useless. They're not united. They they'll always fight. They'll go on and on and on fighting because they have this spirit of my desire, what we want, I want. Tasmat tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatarshabha papmanam prajihi hienam jnanavijnana nashanam. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, Bharatarshabha, great. He's great in the dynasty of Bharat, means great Kshatriyas. They're famous for conquering over their enemies. Well, you conquer over this enemy, he says. Therefore, Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust. By regulating the senses. And slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So there's the process. How do we get free from this? It's very difficult. There's no doubt about it. I mean, anyone who thinks that it's easy to get free from desire, they're in Maya. They're covered by Maya. Kapiladev, we find his instructions. Just see the mighty power of my Maya, he says, by which the whole world is covered. Even the great conquerors of men are in the form of woman. Even the little glance of the woman can control the conqueror of mighty armies. And what to speak of someone who's physically powerful, even someone who's very spiritually powerful. The example is given of Vishvamitra. It's not given to blaspheme him, but the example is there in Shastra that after performing austerity and meditation for thousands of years, just hearing, not even seeing, just hearing the sound of the ankle bell of Menaka, his consciousness became polluted. How does that work? He heard the ankle bell, tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Why should that incite lust? Ting, 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 ting. Because he thinks, what happens? It's the sound, then you think, oh, that's a woman. And then you think of woman, and then the whole fall down. Because of sanskaras, impressions in the mind, even a little thought can lead to another thought. And then dhyayato vishayan pungsam, by thinking of that. But that can come very quickly also, as in the case of Vishvamitra. That's just one example. There are so many examples. So in the beginning, this has to be curbed by a process of regulating the senses, and that particularly the brahmachari life is meant for that. It's not easy. Kapiladev says that within the whole world, only Naranarayan Rishi is free. And Kapila is another form of Naranarayan Rishi. Only he is free from that desire. That charming story is given in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, I believe it is, how Naranarayan Rishi doing tapasya, and Indra becomes afraid. He thinks, now someone's going to become more powerful than me. All these rishis, he thinks, they do the austerity so that they can get my position. They become austere, but they have ultimately a desire to enjoy. So it may be that we see a sadhu who's very renounced, but actually his ultimate desire is to enjoy. There's one devotee, he was from Chennai. I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. He was about 40 in the 1970s. He was initiated in the Gauriya Math in Royapeta, and he came to serve in a ISKCON temple. I knew him from Calcutta. Then later he went to Guwahati, and I saw him. He was living in Puri last time I saw him. He's maybe passed away now. Anyway, he had firm faith that if I serve the devotees, my desire will be fulfilled. So he spoke excellent English, which in those days was not so common. But he just served. He worked hard and did all menial services, completely trustworthy. You could give him any amount of money. Lived very austerely. But he was quite open. He said, I don't want moksha. I want to go to Swarga Loka. That was his aim. He thought, if I do this, sadhu, seva, then by their blessings I can go to... And you couldn't convince him otherwise. So he was very austere, very dedicated. But he was fixed in the completely wrong idea. So one is supposed to perform the brahmacharya life, but very carefully. Because... Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya Mameva Yeprapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. Maya is very difficult to overcome. It's the energy of the Supreme Lord. By surrendering to Him, one can overcome. But no one but Naranara and Rishi can overcome. Then what hope is there for us? Well, if we take shelter of Him, we can do so. Otherwise, then we come to this verse, Indriyani Parani Ahur. They say, Indriyebhya parang manaha, manasastu parabuddhya, yo buddhe paratastu saha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And here the soul is even higher than the intelligence. I just described this to mean karma. So different commentators give different meanings of the word here. Saha means he. So it can be taken to mean that the Atma is above all these things, but it can also be taken to mean that lust is stronger than all these things, than the indriyas, than the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. So what to do? What are we supposed to do? Evaṃ buddhe paraṃ buddhvā Sangstabhyatmanamatmana jahi shatrung mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty Andarjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. One has to be very careful. Maya is very strong. We always have to remember. We should never think that I am liberated. As soon as we think I'm liberated, that means we're already lost. I remember many years ago hearing one devotee. He was doing so very powerful service. And he openly said, now I'm free from the desire for sense gratification. When I heard, I knew he's finished. He thought, I'm free. Then I knew. And within a short time he was finished, even though he was showing so much power in devotional service. And it's common. In the last few years in North India, there was one big sadhu who became known as... womanizer in the south around the same time. One well-known sadhu became known as a womanizer. And there are so many. They went to the west and they taught yoga or something, and then they became exposed as being a womanizer. I don't think they were all completely insincere in the beginning. It's Maya works like that. You do your sadhana very carefully, very sincerely, in the beginning, then you get some spiritual strength, and then that's described as utsahamayi. That's one of the forms of maya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has noted that in the beginning one's very enthusiastic, but then later you become slack, or you may think that I'm already perfect. But we have to go on. It may be that one has reached the perfect stage, but still one should continue to perform the basic activities of sadhana. Generally, one thinks that one has become perfect before he's become perfect, and then he falls down. Or it may be also that even without noticing, even with good intentions, one is trapped by Maya. Just like Bharat Maharaj is one example. He, with good intentions, he saved the deer. He became attached to the deer. Another example is Ajamil. He didn't go to the forest thinking, I'm going to get in Maya. He went to collect flowers for puja. And circumstantially, he saw the man and woman embracing. He tried to put that out of his mind, but he couldn't. He fell down. Ultimately, he was saved by chanting the holy name of Narayana. We see in our Krishna conscious movement also, it's a common thing that male and female sincerely come together for some service, but then some Maya enters. That's why I was warning you yesterday that very sincerely you're doing some service on Facebook with some female devotees who are very sincere, doing the service very nicely. There's no idea of any wrong. There's not even the thought in the mind of any wrongdoing, but you be careful. If you don't, one should only associate with women only if fully necessary. If we say that in the modern age, people think, well, this is some fanaticism. We don't want to be called fanatics. Better to be called a fanatic than to be a fool. Now, once one has come to this stage, then one should be very, very careful. Not that hatred of women is another form of Maya. One should be reserved, respectful. Otherwise, what happens? You see, you're doing some service together. Say you're doing it on Facebook, and then you appreciate and say, yes, I very much appreciate that. And then there's correspondence back and forward, and in the beginning it's all very reserved and respectful, but then later on, you know, they make a little joke or something like this, and just little bit, and before you, and what can happen is the mind can completely snap. I know one of my disciples, a few years ago, he fell in love with some girl he met on Facebook, and once the mind's gone, it's gone. Then the intelligence, jnanama vritya dehinam, the intelligence becomes completely covered, and there's nothing you can say. They're just like one of my godbrothers described to me how you have a very gentle, nice cow, but when they get in their season, they become mad. They want to get out and become impregnated. Their gentleness goes away. They're just overwhelmed with desire. So one has to be very careful. Otherwise, it's karma, krodha. Due to krodha, one becomes angry. Due to anger, one can do anything. Most of the murders, it seems, in the world, apart from in war situations, it's here in India, many of them are over land disputes. Main causes of murders are for money and killing someone who you love. A man kills his wife or his girlfriend because they get into some fight, or he finds she's going off with another man, or she finds out that he's going with another woman. It's all due to attachment. It becomes a very strong attachment. And even wealth, people kill for wealth, and wealth is ultimately meant for fulfilling desire. So one's intelligence becomes covered. There was a shocking case a few years ago in England where middle class man, maybe somewhat upper middle class, very wealthy accountant or something like this, a chartered accountant, and living with his wife for many years. They never argued with each other. They had grown-up children. And then one day he got a hammer and just beat her on the head and killed her. And afterwards he said, I don't know. I don't know why I did it. Just why? He couldn't say. He wasn't a drunkard. Just the intelligence becomes covered. Even there's the description in Chaitanya Charitamrita of this Kala Krishnadas was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was directly 24 hours with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had his full association. It wasn't that there were hundreds of other people. He was only with him. And then some Bhattatharis, which Prabhupada translates as gypsies. There are no gypsies in India. Gypsies came from India. If you're in Europe, you know what gypsies are. So it means they're a class of people who live by petty theft, stealing women, very low class people. So this Kala Krishnadas was directly with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Bhattataris, they lured him by showing beautiful women, you can come and enjoy. And he went with them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pulled him back by force. That's why you should have a shika. That's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that verse now? Let me see if I can remember that. Danya jay shevak jay prabhu nahi tyage. Danya shay. I can't remember. Chule dharyane. It means, fortunate is that servant who is a master who will save him by pulling him by the hair. So you shave your head, but you have to keep a shika so that if you get in trouble, you can get pulled back by your hair. But then there are some who are getting pulled by their hair, they'll cut it off and run away. They're determined. I'm Matiana Krishne Paratasvatova Mitobhipadhi Jagriha Bratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatang Tamisram Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam. I must enjoy my senses. You'll go to hell. Let me go to hell. But I must enjoy my senses. However you try to convince them, they're not a certain class of person, they won't go to Krishna. You try to convince them directly, through others, ask them to meditate, they lost their intelligence. Vimohyatyesha jnanamavritya dehinam. They're completely bewildered. And what are they doing? They're chewing the chewed. Even they know that the sugar cane has been completely squeezed out, but still they want to chew it. So, probably most of you can understand that I'm giving this talk not just because it's interesting and useful to talk about it, but because one of our devotees here is very much in that situation, kama esha, krodha esha. You may find that's very humiliating. Better be humiliated. Better be humiliated. Otherwise you'll be humiliated by Maya. And then it becomes very... good sense doesn't... You can speak all these things, but they can't hear it. The consciousness is covered. They might as well have big mufflers over their ears. It doesn't hit. That's why one is supposed to take guidance from the guru, in which you're in a situation in which you think, I know what is right for me. Then you don't need a guru. Then you have your own, then your guru is yourself. But as the saying goes, one who has himself has a guru has a fool for a disciple. supposed to save you from these situations, but I know what is best. But if we can simply... It's so pathetic to see someone who's... They were very happily performing service, chanting Hare Krishna, and then click. All of a sudden they don't find any relish in chanting the holy names. They don't find any... They think the whole world is wrong, I am right. Only if I can get this, if I can fulfill this desire, then I'll be fully happy. Which is nonsense. That's what everyone in the world thinks. One desire. But what is that desire? The desire to serve Krishna. Arjuna wanted to serve his own senses. Krishna engaged him in the service of Krishna's senses. That's the trick. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam Krishna indriya priti icha dhare premanam. The desire to satisfy our own senses is called lust, material desire. And that always makes us unhappy. Desire to serve Krishna's senses is called prem. Always makes us unhappy. That verse is there. Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonya evate yadyanta vanta kaunte anateshu ramate buddha. In the beginning, middle and end, the happiness which comes from interaction of the senses with the senses simply causes distress, therefore an intelligent person doesn't take part in it. Even before one does that act of engaging the senses with the sense object, even thinking about it brings distress. And if the desire is not fulfilled, they think, only this one thing, then I will be happy. And you get it and you find not happy. So many times I've heard newly married men say, I got married and then, I thought it was going to be so good, but it's not. You didn't read? So many years you heard Bhagavad Gita. You didn't believe it. Now you believe it. We're laughing. They're not laughing. But no, my case is special. Everyone thinks my case is special. What can you do? Sometimes you have to let people go and smash their head against a rock because they're determined to do it. But the thing is, they're smashing their head against the rock, they may kill themselves and they may harm others also. So, Hare Krishna, I won't belabor the point now. So everyone should be very careful. Even for the sake of service, men and women shouldn't interact. In the modern age, men and women interact just as if it's a completely normal thing. But one should be very careful. Only for important business one should interact, male and female. Even sannyasi with his disciples, female disciples, they should be under the control of their husband, not directly dealing. What was that verse? Did you look that up? Chule dharayani? I can look it up. I'll find it. I just didn't remember it now. Let's have a look. Shri Bhakta Donna Jena Chare Prabhur Charan. Shri Prabhu Donna Jena Chare Nijajan. That devotee is dhanya, fortunate, who does not give up the charan, the feet of his master. And that Prabhu is dhanya, in this case it would mean glorious, who does not give up his nijajan, his servants, his own people. Dodaibe Shibok. For a proper reference, isn't Durdaibe Shivakjati Jai Anushtane Shai Thakur Dhanna Tare Chule Dhare Ane. If by misfortune the servant goes away to another place, that Thakur, that master, is glorious if he brings him back by pulling him on the hair.
That reference is wrongly given here. That's why not super person. Yeah. Okay, so we'll finish there.
Hare Krishna.
All right, we'll finish.
Unless there's any question, but I didn't want to go on so much time, but I guess I can take a question.
When the intelligence becomes bewildered...
It's better not to ask when the intelligence becomes bewildered. It's better... Tasmad indriyanyado niyamya bharatarshapa. Don't get to that stage. So that people, devotees ask, well, what should we do if we commit a Vaishnava aparadha? Don't do it, that's all. Instead of asking how to get free from the result of aparadha, don't even think, that means you're already thinking of doing it. I'm going to commit a crime, what happens if I get caught? Don't do it. Then you don't have to ask the question. All of our intelligence is bewildered, therefore we have to follow the program for getting us out of that maya. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and so on.
Maharaj, especially nowadays, when we do programs, only like the Matajis, they come without their husbands for the program.
Women come without their husbands to the program.
Even if you try to preach to the husbands, they are not interested. Only women are very much interested.
Only women are interested. So better than better grihasthas preach with their wives to grihasthas and to women. It's unusual to see brahmacharis remain very long as brahmacharis. Even grihasthas, men shouldn't preach to grihastha women. With their wives, they can do, but individually, no. Otherwise, it's courting disaster. You're sent out for that service, huh? Better you preach to young men students. Hare Krishna. Tasmad indriyani adau niyamya bharatarshabha.